Okay, this is Chuck Mobley, and the date is May 25th, 2004. I'm sitting here in Chignik, Alaska, in the living room of Tina Carlson, and her son Ernie was gracious enough to bring me by for an interview. And Mrs. Carlson has signed the release form. So if I could ask you for just a couple of comments about who your parents were and where you were born and when, if I could.
You want me to start?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My parents, Ira Wallen, and my mom was Clara Bell Wallen. And I was born and raised here in Chignik.
And when were you born?
I was born October 29th, 1922.
And what were your parents like? You said your father was...
Oh, he was the radio operator and postmaster's and the watchman for the cannery, Northwestern's cannery.
And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had 5 brothers and 4 sisters. Well, 3, and I was the 4th one.
And Wallen, you say?
Wallen.
How do you spell that?
W-A-L-L-I-N.
W-A-L-L-I-N. Okay. And you know what? I think that I'm going to trade you microphones. Okay. And W-A-L-L-I-N?
Mm-hmm.
And what were your earliest childhood memories? Were you the youngest of the family or the oldest?
I was the youngest. I was the youngest in the girls, and my brother George was the youngest boy.
Uh-huh.
It was 9 of us.
And what was it like being a kid in Chignik?
Oh, I don't know how to put it, but we used to have to go to school from over here, walk over and all the rocks, and you hop and skip and go over there and go to school, and we'd even come back over for lunch and then go back over.
And that's probably at least a mile or so, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Walk back twice a day. And then when it was ice on the road there, we'd have to crawl on our knees, hands and knees, to walk on the ice. Couldn't walk, it was too slippery. We'd have to crawl. It was fun. A lot of ice then in those days. It's not like that no more here. You got nice roads now.
Do you remember the names of your teachers?
I remember Miss Richardson. Well, she was my first teacher, but I can't remember the rest of the names. I had 2 or 3 of them, different ones. But she was here a long time, teaching.
The photograph that we looked at earlier with people in the Hawaiian outfits.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find that chapter here in the Michelle Morse's book. Where would that be? I remember page 50. Yes.
Here's all her, here's the, I gave, this the picture I gave them to take copies.
Oh, you gave them this photo? Okay, we're looking at page 101 of Michelle Morse's The People of the Volcanoes book. And so, are you in this photo?
Here I am, right there. Is my brother George there?
And a couple of people to your left?
Mm-hmm.
Or to the left of the photo, your right.
Yeah, it's gone. There's my sister, Minnie.
Second person from the left on top.
Mm-hmm.
So I see there's a school bell in here. What was that used for?
That's for the kids to come in when recess was over. They'd ring that, and then we'd all have to run and go back to school.
Thank you.
Yeah, they should never knock that school down. They built a new one. They built that store right there, AC store.
Uh-huh.
It was sad to see it go.
the page page before, which would be page 98, is the photo of people with girls in Hawaiian outfit. Can you tell me about this whole, how did this come about? Whose idea was this in the first place?
Teachers. It was when we were having school in the summer, and they wanted all us to get up there and practice, but we all didn't know too much about it, but we could find a few chords.
So did you actually play these two guitars or these ukuleles?
No, we were just playing a make tape. Oh. And then long after, so I ordered a little guitar. I mean, a uke I used to play. And that's all I remember when we used to practice on the organ, piano, Georgie Porgy. I still remember that, but the rest I forgot. This was my brother married her, Stella Brum. It's Alva Skonberg. It's my sister Minnie, my friend Julius Stepanov. Here's me. And this is Annie Osbukoff, but you can't, they didn't get it all in there.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Her husband just died last year, a year ago, this month, I think, could it be.
And did you dance? Were there mm-hmm. the hula dance?
Yeah, we were doing the hula like that. Uh-huh. We were up on stage, you know, having a little game going on.
And I suppose that kids had to do a lot of work also when you were young? Kids were hauling water and...
Oh, yeah, they all took turns packing water from the stream down by... Our quest was a big stream running. See that big stream? They had it built up there, and that's where they used to get the water before the cannery had all of it. Packed with buckets and yokes.
Hmm.
And then right up here was about three houses up along this road over there where the store is.
Hmm. Well, I want to find that photograph of Chignik here in this volume, and I'm going to take this off tape again while I look for it.
July, that's my brother, George.
You're
my youngest brother.
Is leading the parade here
uh-huh.
on page 90?
Uh-huh. Somebody had a different name, but it was my brother, George.
Huh. And they what is this parade?
4th of July, we're having... A while back, it used to be in Iceland. Filipinas had been put on a big party for the 4th, and then everybody would have races and stuff. I won one anyway. Hammering nails, you know, all hit all the ladies and girls hammering. I got my nail down faster. So.
And is and this it, a Russian Orthodox icon of some sort?
Yeah, and he had that, I don't know who was packing that.
And the Filipinos put the party
mm-hmm,
on?
The Filipinos put it on.
Did they cook?
Oh, yeah, they cooked. They had a good cook then, those days.
And what kind of food did they?
Oh, they had fish and their kind of, I don't remember what else it was. It was beef and pig, I guess. They had pig, lamb, all that stuff. Turkey, too, probably.
Then here on page 88 is the... really nice photo here of Chignik Bay. And in the foreground here is this the Northwest Cannery?
Yeah, that's the cannery on it. It was really a nice cannery, built really strong. And when we were little, we used to go play in there up on top, you know, and run around, but we never got hurt. We were lucky.
And so these were the two cannery buildings here?
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
What was this building, the next building?
Oh, that's the store.
Uh-huh.
That was the store and then another building there. I don't remember what that one was.
Well, this one has two, looks like two smokestacks
mm-hmm.
coming out of it.
Yeah. Must have been some cook.
Uh-huh. And are these boardwalks that show up here?
Yeah,
these
they
lines?
Weren't. Mm-hmm, they weren't very big, but they were boardwalks.
Mm-hmm. And then this building here, you said...
It was the carpenter shop.
Carpenter shop.
Mm-hmm. And here's the post office. It was the post office there.
So the carpenter shop looks like it was maybe painted red or something?
Yeah, they were red.
Were all these buildings painted
mm-hmm.
red? And so the carpenter shop was two-story.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to the left of it, right about in the center of the photo, you say this...
Post office.
The post office. So that was where your father worked?
Mm-hmm. And I think he lived up in this house here. White House, the White House, they called it.
Uh-huh.
Huh. And then was another house way up here, but I don't see it there. And over here, I don't know if this is the one or not, that was the hospital, I think.
At the very far left with
mm-hmm.
the boardwalk?
And this is, was for the watchman, the other watchman, the second watchman. But he lived in that one but in the winter, but he'd go in the summer.
And that's in the far lower left corner.
And here's all the canneries for the Filipinos, I think, lived there.
In the center left.
Yeah.
Center left margin, three.
They had nice buildings there, too. Big ones, heavy, husky built.
And so there were three Filipino bunkhouses
mm-hmm.
here. On the left. Huh. And was there, this is the Northwestern Cannery, and this is the APA Cannery. What did you call it then?
APA.
APA, uh-huh.
That's all I remember when it first came.
And then there's a third cannery in this direction, yes, there, at one time, or the ruins of one, were there? No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Unless there was more buildings on this side.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd haul up those big barges, scows they call them, piling still over the beach there yet.
So what were your memories of the cannery were more with the Northwestern cannery then rather than the APA cannery?
Well, they weren't, there was no operation when we were born there. They didn't do anything.
At the APA cannery?
Uh-huh, no.
At this one?
On this Northwest. It was all gone then when I was born.
Oh, okay.
Because before my time they were building,
I see.
Working. I don't know what year they were putting it up in the 1900s.
Uh-huh.
I don't know when it went down and it didn't work there no more.
So even though the Northwestern Cannery was not in operation, the buildings were still there and everybody used them and mm-hmm. they still had the original names? You still called this the hospital even though it might not?
Yeah, even if it was nobody there, they called it a hospital.
Uh-huh.
My brother and his family lived there and he fixed it up and he lived in there for a long time. He got his own place.
Was there any equipment left in the buildings?
Oh yeah, it was a lot of stuff, but I don't know what ever happened to it.
Huh.
I don't know if they sent it away or some boats came and took it out maybe.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember.
So did you work in the cannery when you were young?
Not in this one, but I worked over in...
At APA?
In 1939 I worked. Started working. I still have my steel card, Social Security one.
To work in
mm-hmm.
the cannery? How did you use it? What was it for?
Our number, Social Security number, and our names on it.
Huh. And what did you do in the cannery?
I was working at the patching table.
When
the cans go through the, what do you call it? Oh, you patching table and the cans going through the belts coming, and all the cans are lined up. And if you see a skin or a bone stick, you hurry up and grab them, cut it off and put it on, keep going, turning off. They didn't want the skin out. They wanted it turned. That's how it worked. And then, and a few times I worked up on the, where they had them lids, covering the lids too. The cannery. Worked there.
Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it.
Why?
I just like to work, I guess. I like going to the patching table to get up 2 or 3 in the morning. Then was the building across the creek there when that fire came, everything went. And we worked there and cased them with 4 cans, 2 in each can. Case them by hand, fill up the boxes, and then the workers would come and take them and fill them up. But worked out 2 or 3 in the morning, casing.
Was it? What did it sound like? Was it noisy?
Mm-mm. Maybe it was, but it didn't bother us. We just kept working. That's where my sister got her hair caught belt.
What and happened?
Well, she was going around, it was coffee break in the afternoon, and everybody went out and And she happened to be up there and was going to do something, and she jumped on the table, and I don't know what she was going to do, and she was too close to the belt, and her hair wasn't covered, and that belt made a, what you would call it, like gravity, grabbed her hair, and she's hung like that, and all of a sudden, it was one guy, they called him American Can Man, you know, you check the can, and he happened to go by, and he saw her, and he had to just pull her like that, because if he didn't, she would have crushed her head. So he yanked her down and hurried up. We had a good doctor, too, and put in that little hospital still up over there. And they worked on her, and they had to send her to Kodiak on a boat, tender. She had a close call.
Yeah.
Ripped her ear right off. She only had a little left of her ear. And they worked on her in Kodiak. She came to it pretty good. But she had to wear a wig after that. Hair wouldn't grow. Yeah, that was scary.
Were there any other accidents that you remember in the cannery? Were there any bad accidents?
Well, there was another girl named Fanny Giacometti. They were living over here where they're building that new dock. That's where their house was. And she went to work one morning. She went to the doctor and she didn't feel good. I don't know what she ate, but somebody said that one Filipino was trying to be friends with her, you know. And they said that she didn't want him to bother her or anything. And so when they were in the cannery there, all they found in her pocket was candy. They took her. She went to work 8 o'clock, and they hurried her over there, and she started getting sick, and they hurried to the hospital, and an hour afterwards she was gone. So I don't know what that was, that something. He must have put in her candy, but they couldn't prove nothing. Nobody had done anything, so she passed away. And that's the only thing I can remember of really bad.
Do you remember the fire when the cannery burned down?
Oh yeah, we remember that.
What was that like?
That was kind of scary. Ernie, what were you? You remember that too, huh? Yeah, I forget what year was that. 58?
76.
Yeah, that was quite a deal.
What was that like?
I don't know, it was way up on top there, I didn't get too much of it, but when the tide came in, all the cans were floating around. Did you tell me about cans floating up way up there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were all way up in the cannery. So I don't know what happened there too. They thought it was arson, but I don't know.
Do you remember any of the labels that were used on the cans?
No. I don't know if they were even labeled then. Were they labeled? I don't think so. I don't think they were labeled.
Yeah, a lot of times they were sold to other companies, and then companies put the labels on their own label.
Yeah, I don't think there was labels. They were just plain. I think they were half pounds too, I think. Remember that, what you call it, sister, brother? Jennifer's brother, remember? He went picking up cans from out there, and he came in the house. He had it open with his pocket knife open, and he came into the front door there, and he was eating. I said, "Wow," I said, "you're not supposed to be eating that laying out in the creek." He never got sick. Must have been good. And afterwards, he didn't think it was anything wrong with it, you know. But everybody was telling me he could have got sick and died. That was Larry Ernest. That was his name, Larry, Jennifer's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were children allowed at the cannery, or were they kept out?
No, they weren't allowed around there. Mm-hmm. They never run around like they do now with the Hondas. But they stopped it now, too. They can't go down the dock no more. The Hondas, dangerous. Oh, yeah, they never went down there. If they did, they would get bawling out.
So how many people from the village would work in the cannery? You had friends that were working
there? Oh, yeah, there was about 20, maybe 30 of them. My brothers, my sisters, and a few from up the lagoon came down there, or lakes. About 20, 30 maybe. Uh-huh. And they had a long house. They called it a long house. They built a house for them to stay there from the other canneries, villages, or, I mean. So it was nice.
The waterfront there, where this is a map of the cannery, as it used to be before the fire. This is a map of the cannery.
Was that that so the building then?
This is the one that burned.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the building that went across
the other side.
And what was that building called? Was it the warehouse?
And I think it was just a long warehouse, I think they called it. Uh-huh. Oh, warehouse. Yeah, that's what it was.
And where was the mess hall then? Where did you eat?
The same place
where they're cooking now. Before I worked, they worked. They had a different. You see that shop? What do you call that shop?
Oh, the stockroom.
Stockroom. That was the galley. Uh-huh. That's where they used to cook before. My husband cooked there.
But that was before your time.
Mm-hmm. Before I worked there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And do you remember what any of these other buildings were used for, like the net house? Did you ever go in the net house?
Web house. They called it the web house. Oh, yeah, I went there. That was a long building. It's a little bit left to it now. Isn't it, Ernie, a little left there? On the side, the bigger part. But the other side was real long. Yeah. And I don't know what kind of wind was that blowed it down. Hmm. Tore it all up.
So the old web house was blown down?
Mm-hmm. Half of it. It went out quite a ways from where those trailers are. You know, four or five trailers there now. The web house was on that side, way down.
So this map is about 1968 here, and it shows the web house mm-hmm. pretty much the way it is now. I think it must be this building here. So when the original web house was blown apart, or part of it was, must have been before 1968.
It had to be, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know when they built that. It's probably marked somewhere on the people have been putting their names, you know, what year.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on there someplace.
Someplace, but boy, you'd have to look through a lot of graffiti in there. That's a lot of graffiti. Did you ever put your name anywhere?
Mm-mm.
No.
I don't remember. Not there. We never walked around there much. I wasn't scared, but a lot of them were scared because when somebody would pass away, they'd put them there and the kids would scare me. And they'd go running, cause they'd come in after you.
When someone passed away, they'd put them in the web house?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Nowhere else to put them until they get put away and bury them.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't too many, but there was a few that, I guess then they probably sent some of them home, their bodies, on the steamers.
How many different cemeteries are there here?
There's only one here.
Only one?
Uh-huh. Two. Oh, yeah, that's right, Ernie, yeah, you got me correct.
Community hall there.
One by the community hall, right, going up.
Do you know who's in the community hall?
Who was?
In the cemetery.
Yeah, who was buried there?
Yeah.
It was old Frank Grunert, I know, remember him.
And
Frank Grunert.
Grunert?
Grunert. Grunert. I don't know how you spell it, Grunert. Yeah. And then there was, I think that must have been Charlie Myers, too. The guy that, remember Ernie, you heard a story about somebody, he shot himself. I think they buried him there, too. And then old Smokey Crist. I know they took Frank Grunert, I remember that, from the lagoon. He fell off the dock and hit his head because he didn't make it. And I don't know what happened. He slipped or what. And I don't remember any more that was there. They never put names on them, see? Mm. That's all I can think of, those three. Mm. I know there's a few more, but I don't know. Remember. I know who, too. I think Charlie Brunn, Nancy Gunberg's dad. I think he buried him there, too. Charles Brunn.
B-R-U-M?
Mm-hmm. B-R-U-N, yeah, Brunn.
Did the Filipinos have their own cemetery here?
Well, the way I remembered them, they were saying that where Roderick and your place, Ernie, and Tickums, you said they buried some there.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys built that, and you never found nothing. Here, right here, down here is where I think they put them. Remember when Walter Stepanov built his house there? Well, he didn't build it, but he bought it from somebody that was Tom Salen was watchman over there when he built the shack here. It's still up there, his shed. Then Walter Stepanov, he ordered his lumber from material to build a house. And they said they used to bury the Philippines along that bank. And I think he was digging there and found some bones. That's all I can remember. But I never seen them or heard much about it. So I don't know how many they put there, put away, buried them, Filipino. But there was no markings either.
And that's just nearby
here? Uh-huh, right down there where that house is there, that shed, and then right along the bank there. Maybe if they'd dig some more, they'd found more, I don't know. Because there was more beach. And years ago, it's all washing. That's where when our mail plane started flying mail in, they had land on that beach there. Hmm. Wasn't very much of a beach, and they just had them small little planes. Orange Seabird started at mail run here. And they used to land on the beach. And some day they'd land over here with a skiff, and the weather was too windy, they'd pick up the mail here, and then the doctors, it land the doctors off here. Or dentists when they used to come way back in the 70s, 60s.
Do you remember your first plane flight? Your first plane ride? Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Well, we moved to Seldovia in 42, fall of 42. Because his brother left here and we took him on my husband's boat. The Reliance? No, the Mayo. It was the Mayo, I think, yeah. Remember Ernie, I told you? Was that the Mayo? We went to Seldovia on. But it was a rough ride, I can remember. But then when we were coming home in the spring of 1943, May, it was in May. And the weather was really nice and calm. And I was breastfeeding my oldest boy. I had two, a boy and a girl. And my oldest son was born in Seldovia. So we left there in May sometime. I forget what day, but we had nice weather coming. Sun was shining, and we never had paper diapers then, see? We had those cotton. So I went on the deck of the boat, and I was breastfeeding my baby. And the sun was hot, and I was scrubbing away on diapers, cleaning them up, you know, no rubber gloves or nothing. So I must have caught cold. And when we were coming over after that trip, we were still on the boat, though. And I got a headache, and it wasn't really a headache, but, oh, my head was hurting. I couldn't even move. I just lay like this. And my husband and his other friend was trying to give me Alka-Seltzer, aspirins, and I don't know what else, but it wouldn't help. And I just lay there and never ate anything. I don't know how many days took us to come. But when we came back to the dock here at this old dock and landed, I could hardly walk. I was just like I was in a daze. And I couldn't see no light or nothing. So my husband took me up to the house, my mom and dad's house there. Laid me down. And they tried to let me eat and drink a little water, and I didn't want nothing. So they took me over to cannery doctor over there, and I think his name was Doctor. Oh, I don't remember the doctor's name. Dr. Cannon, yeah. His name was Dr. Cannon. And they didn't have penicillin then, so he gave me some sulfa tablets and gave me them. And Tom Salen was the radio operator. So he had a call. This was during the war over in Attu, or Adak, wherever it was. He called that plane in. He talked to that plane, and I don't know what, it was a kind of a gray color plane they were telling me, but I couldn't open my eyes. I was so sick, I got cold and got pneumonia, see, my chest. So they called him in, he come and picked me up on the beach there, and everybody could remember, a whole bunch of people around, and I just thought I was going to die. And they took me down, and I remembered them, I can just remember them taking me out of the hospital and packing me down on the beach. The boat plane lay on there on the beach. It was a big plane. I forget what kind of. But anyway, it was a gray one, colored. Or kind of a colored gray. And they took me aboard there and went. Then I remember going on, and then I went out. And I didn't remember nothing more after that. So when we got up in the air, and somebody asked for one water, so they had glass jugs then. Plastic, not plastic, they were glass hose. So I drank some water. And then I went out again, and I don't remember nothing of the plane, how it was flying or anything. But then they got me to Kodiak and landed me at the Coast Guard base on Kodiak. And they talked to me, and I said, yeah, or something. And they asked me if I was a civilian. And I said, yeah, and I didn't know what that meant then. So they took me out into Kodiak Memorial Hospital, Griffin Memorial Hospital, and took me there, and the doctor gave me some more triple sulfa, called it. So I laid there for 20 days in the hospital until I came home. Mm-hmm. And then some barge was coming this way, and picked me up and landed me out. I think it was down by waterfall. My husband come pick me up there. So I made it home. But it was a long struggle. Mm-hmm. My mom took care of my two kids while I was out. That's the first airplane ride I had. Hmm.
Yes, you could have been under better circumstances. What was it like here during World War II? Did anything change?
No, not here. It didn't far change nothing. But we were all kind of watching out. They used to say not to have any lights at night. Everything was black in case the planes did fly over. I was still young, so I didn't know much about war.
Mm-hmm. Were you here during the 64 earthquake?
Mm-hmm.
Did anything happen here?
Nothing strong, but it was pretty strong in the house, but nothing dropped. Nobody got hurt or anything here either. But it was a strong one. It was done, it was in the evening by 6. Punk.
Have you had bigger earthquakes? Have you ever had any big earthquakes that damaged the building?
Oh, yeah. In that book there, this book, it was in 38, I think, where when we were watchmen over there, my dad was blind then. It was strong. We were living in that soup's house, and they had them brick buildings, and that all fell. Hmm. So we had to move out of there and go to another place, another building. That was pretty shaky.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about are the robberies, and here in this book we have on page 89, it's got a photo of Andersonville about 1909, and it shows the some
yeah I see them there,
but also probably some that were
a place where they could live in too without robberies, you know. Yeah. I mean, well, they lived in the robberies, but they weren't fixed up too good, but was warm. I think I remember going to one of those homes.
So
they were pretty nice. They were nice.
The Barberis were mm-hmm. nice. What were they like inside?
They were like, they had boards like, see them like those had boards that I can remember. And the flooring was wood. They'd scrub them with their hands and please, you know, keep them clean. I didn't see only the Barberis, they'd call them banyas, they were grass, you know. But the real ones that lived in were pretty good.
So the ones that didn't have wood inside, you used those for banyas?
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me how the banya worked?
They had rocks. They build up rocks and warm them like that. I don't think they ever used any drums that I know of. Didn't have them then, I guess.
Were they special rocks?
Yeah, I think they would be special because they'd have to have them all pretty even when you built them up. And they'd throw water on them. Steam would come out, you know. They would wash them up good. I don't know what kind of pans they had, call them basins, wash basins.
So there were Barberis over at Andersonville, over where the creek comes out now.
Right up there, yeah, uh-huh.
And where else, before we went on the tape, you were telling me about?
Yeah, down by Erickson's place. I mean, Carlson's place. Across from there, they had a couple of banyas there. Two or three, I guess, I don't remember. But I never did go in them. They used to scare all the kids there to keep out of there, so we never went around there. Boogeymans.
Mm-hmm. And then somewhere in this vicinity also?
Might have been one up here before my time, like Ernie said down here when they were building this place, Ernie. Yeah? There was a hole there you could see, but not too much of it now. It's filling in. Somebody had built there. I don't know who that would be. Maybe way up here might have been more. I think there was some down at the sand spit too. See some old wood somewhere, you know, coming out. They must have had some there living.
Hmm.
And they'd walk across to Lake Bay, I guess.
Hmm. Have you been up to the dam where the water line comes
out? I was
up
there a long time ago, walked.
Yeah.
Walked up one summer with the teachers, but nobody will believe me because I don't have nobody else to ask, you know, because when we were going to school, I think it was the Richardson teacher, we walked right over, hard to believe, went down to, but I can remember a little, I don't remember how old I was, but kind of remember like a dream. We walked over and had lunch over at Castle Bay.
Mm.
They said, that's where we went. Walked it. Hard to believe I walked it. Can't walk there now no more. I don't think I can walk up the lake. Damn, because I fell in the hole and broke my ankle and never knew about it. Long time ago. I always used to wonder why one shoe would go crooked.
Hmm.
And then when we lived there in there, the measles were going around and I don't know if you want to hear about that story.
Sure, yes. Measles.
The measles was going around here in January. I was only 9 years old, so I forget what year that would have been.
31.
Would have been around 31. And the mail boat used to come here and name it, which was the Star of Alaska. And we all had the measles, and after the measles, I took sick. And I don't know how they knew us. I couldn't walk and do nothing, so I guess I was just lucky the mailboat was in on time. So they sent me out to Seward past Kodiak, and I don't remember much of my ride either on that boat. I guess that was my first ride too, on the boat, mailboat. And when I got to Seward, they found out I had appendicitis, and I had 1 hour to live before I got there. If I didn't get there an hour's time, I'd have been gone. I had 5 pus bags in my appendicitis, and they cut me wide open. I got a big cut like that wide. And I was so tiny, my skin wouldn't grow together, so they had to put chicken gut on my stomach.
Hmm.
I was there, I don't know how long I was in Seward. I mean, in Seward, yeah, up in the Jesley home after that. Hmm. They gave me how to operate.
What was the Jesse Lee home like?
That's where they put all the kids when they had no, when they lost their mom or dad. They'd send them to Jesley home in Seward. And Rudolph's, my husband's brothers were there. Two or three of them were there, yeah. And my cousins, they were there too when they lost their dad. And Rudolph didn't go, he just sent, three of them were up there. Edwin was there and his dad. Edwin didn't go. No, it was just his sister and Axel, I think, went there. I think Axel went up that time. I can't remember either.
Way before my time.
I know, but I thought maybe you heard stories, you know. But I knew his sister was there. And my cousin Mandoline and Laura, Edwin, Bonnie, Laura, Louis, Frank, all them went. They lost their dad. Sent him there because mom couldn't take care of him here.
What do you remember of the Jesse Lee home? What was it like?
Oh, when I stayed there after I had my appendix out and waiting to come home again on what boat I came back on. Must have been mail boat too. It was nice, a lot of kids all different from different villages, you know. They treated them good. There was two buildings, one for the girls and one for the boys. Big building. I don't know if it's still standing soon or not.
Yeah, but it's in bad shape.
Oh, it's all rent down.
But it is still standing.
Hmm. Yeah, I stayed there. And then when I had my first baby, she was born in Seward. Hmm. Remember when I was laying in bed watching those 4th of July up in the mountains running, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Running on a, I don't know who that was, won that deal, I think it was.
Mount Marathon.
Hmm?
Mount Marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could lay in that place there and see them running, watching. I can remember that. Hmm. I don't know who won that, if that was Benny Benson or not, won that one deal, one race.
Hmm.
He made that flag.
Mm-hmm. Did you know him?
Uh-huh.
What was he like?
He was a nice guy. My husband had him here working with him. He used to go out and trap and ground before I was married. In 38, I think it was 37, something like that. He was a good guy. He was a pretty smart boy. He had a brother, too, and they lived up in the lagoon. His brother's name was Carl Benson.
What happened to Benny Benson?
He worked for that Airways in Kodiak. He left from here and went over and worked for being a mechanic. And he got sick, I guess. I don't know what was wrong with him. He had something wrong with his leg or something. I don't know where if he passed away in Seward or not when they shipped him up there. Hmm. I never heard no more on it. Hmm. He took sick and died. He wasn't that old either. They used to live out on some island out there, Ben's Island, they called it, with their mom and dad. Forgot their name. Ben Benson. His dad's name, but I don't remember his mom's name.
Bernie?
Yeah.
I'm on tape. I'm going to go off tape.
What is that, 87, 88?
83. First one? The first one that was put in?
The water.
83.
And then they put the sewer in later. Okay.
1983.
Was when the first steel line went?
No.